In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Gospel from Luke chapter 6, 31 through 36, commands us to do something that seems beyond this fallen and natural world. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us to love our enemies and to do good to them, even lend to them, hoping for nothing in return. And he even goes so far as to say that merely to love those who love us or do good to those who do good to us is no better than what sinners already do, and not something praiseworthy or of any real value. And here we kind of see the difference between merely a moral imperative as opposed to actual virtue, because virtue is kind of going above and beyond the call of duty, as they say. And this is very extraordinary. I mean, surely, if we're, you know, I think we have to be honest with ourselves, and there are probably times when we find it difficult to even love those who do good to us or are kind to us, let alone those who hate us and are mean to us. Well, there can be no real earthly, natural explanation for a commandment like this. And that's really precisely the point. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not call us to be citizens of this fallen world, but rather citizens of the kingdom of heaven. When he stood before Pilate with people clamoring for his death, and Pilate asked him if he was a king, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And this is really the message that Christ gives to us. So he calls us to his kingdom to act in imitation of our Father in heaven, who is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And remember, in this time that we live in now, Christ said, "I am not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Okay, so in this time, from the time of the coming of Christ until the time when he will come again in his second coming, he's not going to destroy the earth like God destroyed the earth in the great flood, or, you know, blew up Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. He is trying to be patient because he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, the only way that we can really understand this kind of higher heavenly sort of love is not with our limited rational minds, for this is beyond the realm of logic and reason that's the rule of this fallen world. This divine love is entirely of the kingdom of heaven and can only be understood with our hearts. As St. Ambrose of Milan once said, "All these things said and did the Lord, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he was struck, he did not hit back. When he was despoiled, he did not resist. When he was crucified, he sought pardon for his persecutors, saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' He absolved his own accusers of their crime. They prepared the cross, he requited with salvation and grace. And since the very zeal for virtue wanes without recompense, he brought us an example and pledged a reward from heaven, promising that those who were his imitators would be called sons of God. For he who hastens to the prize must not despise the example, because the more excellent the reward, the greater the duty. Then how great is the recompense of mercy, which is joined to the law of divine adoption. So pursue mercy, that you may deserve grace." And we all should recognize that we really only have one common enemy, and that's Satan, the very source of all evil. When a person does something evil, therefore, they really do it under the influence of Satan because they're weak, because they're blind and deaf to the truth, not because, you know, they truly hate us in some personal way. Those who do us evil really only harm themselves. For example, we read in the Gospel about the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Did it profit the rich man to feast sumptuously every night and live in luxury, wearing purple and fine linen, and completely ignore the poor, sick Lazarus? He who showed contempt and disdain for the poor man eventually received his just reward by being tormented in flame for all eternity. We should really feel sorry for such a person. Lazarus, on the other hand, did not revile or curse his adversary, but endured everything with patience and virtue, and so he was found worthy to enter into eternal rest in Abraham's bosom. And what did it profit those who shouted to Pilate, "Crucify him, crucify him, and his blood be on us and on our children"? The nation of Israel in 70 AD saw their temple utterly destroyed, their people slaughtered and scattered over the face of the earth to endure the shame of their vile deed. And what about the powerful Roman, you know, emperors and governors who persecuted the Christians with terrible torments and death? They sent them to death as martyrs in the kingdom of heaven, crowned with victory, while their wretched souls were swallowed up by their master Satan to endure eternal torments. And today we see evil all around us. Every day, you know, CNN and newspapers, it's just one thing after the other. Somebody's shooting up some bunch of people at some school, or the terrorists are doing some yet another outrageous, barbaric act. And we see greedy and, you know, wealthy people whose greed knows no bounds, and they're extorting, you know, great profits at the expense of millions of poor and destitute people. And yet everyone will receive their just reward in the end. Remember, you know, it's not up to us to avenge evil. It's not up to us, even though we see the superheroes, you know, the, you know, Superman and all that, you know, the Avengers. But it's really not up to us. It's vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What will happen to those who do evil in this life? Nothing, but if they don't repent, they just will have eternal torment and outer darkness, and weeping and gnashing of teeth will be their reward. But we are called to imitate our Father in heaven, who is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. We are called to be children of the highest and to receive a great reward. So let us not return evil for evil. If someone does us harm, let us pray for that person, knowing what is in store for unrepentant sinners. Let us treat others as we would wish to be treated, with kindness, forgiveness, and mercy. We must condemn sin, but not condemn the sinner, for we are all sinners in need of God's mercy. Glory be to our God.